and this is put there as a special note to us. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. What are the last three trumpets? The woe trumpets. Woe, woe, woe. The woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea corresponds also to the woe of the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet. He is the angel of the bottomless pit. He is the one, Abaddon, Apollyon, the destroyer. He is the destroyer, the serpent, the dragon. He has many names. He is angel that goes by many names. He is the, you know, the one whom God has appointed as the enemy. And he is going to come to earth and his angels are going to be cast out with him. And how are they cast out? You know, they just cast out of the sky. Well, he is apparently going to come from the sky. And the smoke will come out of this pit, which I assume to be an earthbound thing, but I could be wrong about that. But anyways, I believe this refers to the opening of like an interdimensional portal or some sort of gateway between where the fallen angels are held and this world. And they will enter in. And there will be a lot of smoke. And, you know, remember in the previous trumpet, you have, or in the four trumpets, you have this already the earth, the sun, and the air darkened because of this great mountain that comes down. And, or I assume that that's sort of the cause, that these things are all causing it. The dust kicked up, all the upheavals that are going on in the earth are going to cause the sun and the air to be darkened. And then also, when this sort of natural event occurs, a supernatural event will occur with it. These locusts, as they are described as locusts, numerous and hurtful. They have power, not as locusts have power, interestingly. They are numerous like locusts. They are active like locusts. So they have a locust-like behavior. They're all over the place. But their power is not like the locust to devour vegetation, but rather to hurt men. They are there for the hurting of men. They don't harm grass. They don't harm trees. They don't harm green things. They hurt men. Specifically, the men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. They're here to harm them. Not to kill them, but to torment. And their torment was the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. The scorpion sting is a painful sting. In adults, not fatal. And it says, as when he striketh a man. I assume it can be fatal in children, but generally for adults, it's not a fatal sting. But it is a neurotoxin. It can cause lack of coordination, stiffness. You could have, and of course, swelling, pain, different things. But the main point is it causes pain, it debilitates, makes you feel weak. And that's what they do. They weaken, they harm. They don't kill. They're to torment. And in those days, men would seek death. And the way I think of this is, you think about it. Why would they want to die? A scorpion sting is pretty bad. Is it the kind of thing that would make you wish you were dead? Well, I don't know. I've never been stung by one. But I think that there's more to it than just the pain. You see, when the men see all the events in the first four trumpet taking place, the hail and fire mingled with blood, the mountain cast in the sea, all the ships destroyed and the sea creatures died, the sea filled with blood, and then they see the waters poisoned and the sun and the air darkened, they're going to be freaking out, totally freaking out. And then, on top of all that, we're going to have Satan and his angels cast out. They're going to show up, and now all of a sudden, you've got supernatural entities on the scene. These creatures are something more than just men. They are not men, but they are things that torment men. The fact that it said, you know, they are there to torment the men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And the reason they're shown as other creatures is because they aren't men. They are there to hurt men. they come out of the bottomless pit. That goes back to like angels in chains of darkness reserved unto the judgment of the great day. They are in what it was called their Tartarus, which was in the Greek mythology. It's a word Peter used to refer to where the fallen angels are held in this sort of prison. And so that when it talks about this pit and this place where they're kept, at the end, when Christ comes, Satan is bound in chains and thrown into the bottomless pit again. Now, that's interesting because the bottomless pit is mentioned here, and it's opened, and out come these things. And it's a prison for angels. And they're referred to here as locusts. They are a locust army. They are going to be everywhere. They're going to be endemic. They are not here to hurt grass, but to hurt men. And men are going to seek death because what happens is after the trumpets blow, they're not going to actually hear trumpets, but these events are going to be like trumpets. Hail and fire mingled with blood, mountain burning with fire, etc. I'm repeating myself, but it's all right. And then supernatural entities, Satan and his angels. And as it is written in the book of 2 Thessalonians, he will exalt himself and stand in the temple of God. And make a show that he is God. He's going to show the world. He's going to declare the whole world that he is God. And they worship the dragon, which gave power to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And the beast that rose out of the sea, it had on its head, on its heads, the name of blasphemy. What is that name? What is the name of blasphemy? What is the name? If men want to blaspheme, there's no other name they call on than Jesus Christ. Or that's the name. That's the name of blasphemy, especially when it's written on the head of the beast. He comes with the name of Jesus written on him. When Jesus comes, he has the name written on his thigh, on his forehead and on his thigh. A name is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The devil will also have names written on him, exalted names. He will stand in the temple of God. Does it have to be the Jewish temple? I don't think so. It could be the Dome of the Rock. That's a temple to God. In Christ, he said, the woman at the well asked him, where's the place that men ought to worship? Should we worship at Jerusalem? Our forefathers worship in this mountain. What do you say? He said, the day is coming and now is when you will not worship either here nor yet at Jerusalem, because God wants people to worship him in spirit and in truth. He seeks such to worship him. We worship God in spirit and in truth, not in temples made with hands. But the devil is going to exalt himself in a temple made with hands. There is no true temple of God. There cannot be. Any temple the Jews would build would be a mockery, because they have fallen behind on his plan. Building temples would be totally out of line with what Jesus came to do.